Hey, what you want to do is you want to go to our YouTube channel. Go check it out. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube because we have a pretty big guest coming in here right now. You talk about a pop. When we went to WrestleMania, this guy got a pop.
I mean, legend.
It was a legend. Right here with us is Jeff Hardy is here. There he is. Yeah, we'll set you up over there. Still looking great. Man, how you doing, Jeff? Jeff's been in here before, and we saw you at WrestleMania here in Orlando, and it was the biggest pop. How does it feel to when you were not just accepted, but the reception when you guys got back here in Orlando for that big WrestleMania?
It must be great if it gives you goosebumps, you know. And it was a great moment for my brother and I.
Yeah,
insane, wow. Man. We hadn't seen everything, you know, been all caught up with wrestling, but we went to WrestleMania,
and we knew you guys were going to be there.
And the buzz was there before you guys went. Here, the Hardy Boys are
Hardy Boys are coming.
I guess they're going to be here. Hell yeah, you know. And when you came out, bah! And I got to be honest, what is delete?
Well, that was what I was about to mention. That, man, when we heard those distant delete chants.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is a movement. You know, this is really went crazy, this whole broken thing.
Yeah.
Which is now woken. But yeah, to hear that many people going delete with delete.
And we didn't know what it was.
What is it? Right, yeah.
What's the reference?
Matt just means hurting people, getting rid of people.
It wasn't promoted that the Hardy Boys were going to be there, right? It was like everyone was like gossiping, you know?
Yeah, for sure. People were hoping that it was going to happen, but like we had a busy weekend with Ring of Honor the night before,
right.
One of their biggest shows with the Young Bucks, and the match was way worse than the one at Mania. It was rough. I mean, I was going through tables, took about 24 super kicks, and survived it. And okay, we're good to go. We're at Mania. We got to do this. We did like a 5-hour appearance that day, and we were telling people we were catching a flight to Raleigh. You know, just lying. I was lying my butt off. You know, it's like a good birthday surprise party. You know,
that's like we're seeing Orlando.
Yeah, heading to Raleigh.
It was the most fun part for us for WrestleMania, just to see you guys come back
really
and doing such a great job.
Yeah.
And so for those that don't know, like, what was your plan when you went into wrestling? Because it seemed as if you and your brother, your plan was just to do the most dangerous, the most crazy thing, so everybody would just think you're nuts. Like, what was your plan at first? I mean, when you do these things, do you do them because everybody know it's safe enough, or do you not really know?
It's gotten harder, but I think that's still kind of my plan. I'm 40 years old. I'm like, I don't even know. I can't really. I think I'm just a stunt man. but Matt, you know, he's a little more, you know, not as extreme. But that's always kind of been my route with things. You know, the ladders and jumping off of stuff. So yeah, I've always been a fan of that. From the time, you know, I was 12 years old, jumping off my first ladder or whatever, going through a table at home off a trampoline. I mean, I've always kind of been into that extreme realm.
The way I remember it, you guys were the first to really do that out of ECW, the backyard wrestling kind of feel, vibe, and insanity. Was there anybody before you guys? And if so, that must have been your inspiration.
I'm not sure. I can't. I just back the original ECW. That's where I remember seeing a bunch of when Sabu was moonsaulting through tables, like when he would lose a match or something.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that and just loving it. I was like, "This guy's a maniac!" But wow, this is so cool. What does it mean? I don't know. I love it. But then it just got bigger and bigger, and we'd always messed with ladders, so that became our thing was the ladders, and then the Dudleys naturally were the tables, and Edge and Christian were the chairs.
Yep, that's right.
So yeah, it kind of all morphed together perfectly.
With us here is Jeff Hardy, who will be wrestling tonight. It's at the Amway Center, yes.
Yeah, Jeff, learned a little bit about you. I know that as a kid, you liked to rode motocross, played baseball and football even. Matter of fact, I think you even likened a motocross incident to ending your football career. Do you ever think back in the day, you know, as you wrestling at 40 years old, take all the bumps and stuff, like maybe what you could have done in football or baseball or one of the other sports?
Not really. I'm really glad I followed the path I did because I was a diehard motocross fan. I was an amateur, and I was determined to like make it in the AMA to be a pro. But it costs so much money to keep a bike modified and running good.
Damn.
And you know, riding around all the tracks, it
team
just
on
takes
the road,
so much money.
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
it takes a lot of money. And I know that your first bike was a YZ80.
Yeah,
and oddly enough, when I was a kid, I had the Honda version of that, but all my buddies had the YZ80s, which was a legendary early starter Yamaha dirt bike. Right, it's like
for
the best.
Sure. Yeah, and I'll never forget getting my first 125, and they were so tall compared to you know the 80s. But anyway, I did that for a while, and wrestling, I was doing that on the side, and wrestling kind of just worked out for it. It felt very natural, and I knew I was good at it, so I just I'm glad I went the way I did.
I think you did right.
Once again, Jeff Hardy here with us. It's WWE SmackDown here tonight in Orlando. Big, incredible show. You got to go see it. You know, I like to flip around on YouTube and watch stuff, and I somehow got stuck on something. It was like the very first match of The Undertaker. And in this very first match, it's like The Undertaker and Dusty Rhodes. And I'm looking at those guys. I'm like, wow, what does it take to have longevity in professional wrestling? Because not a lot of people do, but you do. You're one of the guys that has longevity. What do you think it takes to have longevity like a Undertaker, Dusty Rhodes? Yourself,
I think with me, it's luck. It's a lot of luck, you know, hope and faith. You know, it's just I've been very fortunate and blessed to still be able to do what I do and at the pace I'm doing it. So yeah, I think a lot of luck and a lot of fate has helped me.
I would say the key has to be a connection with the fans.
Oh, yeah.
You have a connection with the fans that other people for whatever can't keep for a long period of time, and you have that. Have you ever tried to figure it out, or are you just doing what you do? You know, you don't even try to figure out why you connect so well.
I kind of just do what I do, and I think I relate with them and connect with them so much. Because here's an example. Last night, I was starting to paint my face. I've been brought the paint back as of late.
Yeah, cool.
You know, I'm totally the charismatic enigma now, but and I started painting my neck. I had this vision in my mind, and the neck started to come up to my face, and I don't like this, but it kept growing because I had time. Like, I had 2 hours or whatever, so I was just taking my time, having fun. And I remember looking at myself, like, why do I do this? This is crazy. I was kind of afraid to go in the locker room. Like, well, what's wrong with this dude? My neck was painted. My face was painted. And I was like, no, that's what you do. I mean, you can always improve and do something better and evolve.
Look at that. Look at this guy.
That's insane, isn't that cool? Dude.
It really is super
my
cool.
My eyes are closed there, so that's it's so cool to be doing that in WWE because I did that in TNA for the longest time. It's a lot of work, but it is so cool.
The switch from TNA to get back to WWE, I mean, was that a difficult run? Because I know, you know, the guys, you're performing in front of thousands now with TNA. It wasn't thousands. There was a couple hundred sometimes. Is it more difficult to get out and perform in front of, you know, 100 people than it is, you know, several thousand?
The biggest difference is, I mean, that's way better, but the biggest difference is the travel. You know, it's you're wrestling four nights a week. And with TNA, the cool thing, you would film and then you'd be off a month or so. But I remember telling Matt when we were first talking about, hey, I think we need to try to go back. You know, we're getting older. But I'll never forget, I did this one spot at the Impact Zone with Drew, I think, McIntyre at that point. But it was like a swanton to the stairs, and he pulled up his knees and had his knees, and it was so cool. And I said, you know what, man? I was all sore, and I said, man, I'm tired of doing WrestleMania spots in this Impact Zone.
right.
What is wrong with me? I should be doing that in front of 75,000 people instead of, you know,
1,500
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so, who is it that inspired or that helped you a lot along the way? Like, when you got there and you started performing, you know, some of the big names that kind of recognized your talent and helped you?
Michael Hayes, number one.
Oh, you know, really?
Yeah, he was our manager there for a while, and we rode together and did it all together. So he's our mentor, man. And I still, to this day, like I go to him for advice, or if I have a question myself about something, because he's a genius up here when it comes to pro wrestling. So more than anybody, Michael Hayes has helped us out.
You're the first wrestler that ever told us that. That's interesting to know. Yes, Angel, question for the one and only Jeff Hardy.
Jeff, when have you ever caught yourself in that moment where you're standing there, whether it's getting ready to dive off the corner of the ring or being introduced at a moment and you're like, yeah, this is it. Like, this is what it's about. Does one moment stand out for you like that?
Yeah, probably the biggest swanton I've ever done was, I think, 33 feet to Randy Orton. It was back in 08 or 09, I can't remember, but it was when Raw was about to change the set.
Right.
So they wanted to do something big before they switched over. And naturally, you think you could do a swanton from way up there? yeah, I think I can, but oh my gosh. I mean, it was... It was terrifying because it was so high, but I went all out, and it was a lot of times when I'm afraid, it won't be as graceful, but that one, it was 100% commitment, and I just, it was all out.
Do you go back and look at some of this stuff, and you're like, I can't believe I just did that?
Right, yeah, that's the fun part is when you get up from it, and then you watch it back, and you're so proud of yourself.
when was your first swanton? When was the very first time you did it, and do you remember going like, oh man, I might... break my neck here. How old were you? I mean, this is like when Jordan first freaking dunked. So
yeah, it was. I was probably 17, 18, and it was a Japanese wrestler. I forget his name, but he would do a dive over the top and with that form, that's what I did at first. But then I just remember going, why don't I just do that in the ring as a finish and call it, because it was a senton, and just call it a swanton,
right?
Because it looks like a it's the beauty of a swan dive.
Yeah.
And so that stuck, and Jim Ross started calling it a swan dive.
That's
so
a swan dive! Yeah, right.
Yes, Ryan Holmes, question for Jeff Hardy.
Man, you go all out in everything you do. Do you ever get mad, like, when you're, like, you didn't pick something easier as, like, a gimmick? When, like, you got the ladder thing, you got this face paint thing, so it's all this stuff you gotta do, and you just see a guy who has, like, nothing, and you're like, oh, F you.
Yeah, right. On TV days, the face paint is a definite bummer, because it's like, when you have a lot to get, like a long match or a promo to try to, you know, work out, and then you got to take time to paint your face. And
you
like,
have to do. Why don't you have a makeup person that does it while you just kind of focus?
That's the same reason I cut my own grass, man. I have to do it, man.
You got to do your thing.
Yeah.
And you know, as we read your bio, and I believe I remember from when you were in here before, aren't you like a painter and you write songs and you sit like
a Renaissance
like,
man,
like all kinds of art, right?
Yeah, that's my thing, man. I paint motocross. I don't do that as much anymore. Like, speaking about that and getting up from stuff and succeeding, when I broke my leg in 2015, that was the first time in my life I couldn't get up, because I broke my tibia, and that's kind of led to Matt becoming broken, mm-hmm. because we were the tag team champions, I was the Omega champion, and I built these three terrifying jumps at my track, and I conquered two of them, and I had one more, it was a 100-foot triple, and so I got to do it today, I got to do it, and I just, and so I went for it, and man, I came up short, and just bam, cased it. And my buddy was filming it, and for the first time in my life, I can't get up. I mean, I've been knocked out and got up after and everything before, after a bad crash. But, yeah, broke my tibia, and that's what sucks when you don't make it. But when you do make it, it's so fun. So with that said, fear, just like a huge swanton, right. Fear is part of the fun.
Hey, Jeff.
You learned this. A little more gas.
So, Jeff, we see all these stories. There are movies about it. And we hear stories of, you know, wrestlers that are really, really famous. And then they, you know, later on in the career, they have nothing. You know, they don't save any money. Is that something that you think about? Like, okay, I want to make sure I'm not one of the guys.
Don't be broke.
The stereotypical, you know, do you think about that?
Oh, Matt, now that's, I think, from our dad growing up farming tobacco, man. Number one, we learned how to save at a young age and, you know, and pay for stuff and have enough money to, you know, get by and prepare for your families and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I think about that all the time, especially with two daughters now. Matt's got two boys. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, naturally, I mean.
And the same kind of risk road, how did you avoid that? I don't really know. Did you the pain meds, which was littered throughout all of wrestling and all of professional sports, really. How did you avoid that road? Because I know you see different one of your brothers every other week. You know, stuff happens with them.
Oh, yeah. No, they got me back in 2009.
Oh, okay.
I was arrested, yeah, because I was.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, way too many pain pills. So, and luckily enough, I got arrested instead of dying.
I feel you, bro.
Luckily enough, I got arrested.
Yeah, same, you know, not that, but sometimes it takes it to get down that low. I understand. And then you go, whoa, thank God, because the next level is just dead.
Yeah.
What people don't know is that's the, I mean, though, you know, it's maybe it's planned out or whatever, but it hurts. I mean, you guys are still doing things that are very, very painful.
Yeah, our 24 documentary, I don't know if y'all seen it, but if y'all haven't, you need to check it out.
I'll check it out.
It is raw and intense, and Matt and I talk about all that stuff. And
I will totally check it out, man.
It's worth the watch for sure. But back to the inside, the talents, you know, I don't motocross as much as I would like to because I don't want to get hurt.
Right.
But now with the painting, I mean, doing my face at the shows, I'm kind of getting a little bit of both, but and actually I'm getting out and singing more. I'm doing a show next week after SmackDown Live in Greenville, South Carolina with my band.
Oh, nice, really?
The first one in a while. So okay, it's hard to get gigs these days.
So the kind of songs you write, I have to know, because when you look at
through the air,
you look at Jeff Hardy and he just looks like he's a badass. Do you sing like sensitive love songs? Like, what do you do?
I do a little bit of everything.
Is this you?
That is you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's
Don't rearrange me. Nothing's gonna save me.
Oh.
I'll never be a leader. I'm closer to a quitter.
This is what I would expect. If you talk about that.
What's the name of the band? Is it the Jeff Hardy Band or what? It's
Jeff Hardy's Peroxide Gin.
Oh, very cool.
Rolls right off the tongue.
I don't know what it means.
Do you feel like you always have to be badass? Like, you ever, because you came in and there's definitely an air about you, clearly, but you ever just like, you know, hug a bear or anything?
For sure, man. With my daughters 7 and 2, you know, I'm always a big old daddy teddy bear telling lame dad jokes.
All right, well, it's WWE. It's tonight at the Amway Center. Thank you so much for coming back in.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
There's
a huge main event. You know, it's me, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles taking on Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, and the one and only Miz.
Very great. Yeah. Hey, man, thank you so much. And we're going to play some more of his stuff today.
Thank you. Very good, man.
Anytime.
Thank you. All right,
you're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Nothing's gonna save me. I'll never be a leader. I'm closer to a quitter. Time will rearrange us. Nothing's gonna save us. The past lives in our shadow.